services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 238. I'm Adam, and focus on the details, picture them, feel them. Here's Debbie Melrose.
Humans, you're never happy, are you?
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Santarans perverting the course of human history.
Yes. Thank you, Kirby. And no Mary at the moment, because we don't know where she is. Yep. And Ben might join us later after he's had a run. I hope that's nothing too medical. Mm. I hope that means he's actually had a
toilet humour already.
Yeah. This week we're looking at Listen. So if you could listen, that would be quite useful, considering this is a podcast. Mm-hmm. Right, so we'll go straight into it, might as well, haven't we? So the episode begins with a beautiful sort of panning shot into the open doors of the TARDIS and up onto the roof where the Doctor... How did he get up there, by the way? Where the Doctor
is sat on there
with his eyes shut, meditating, opened his eyes up and said, "Listen,
listen."
And then he starts spouting and talking to himself.
It's a hypothesis about why do we talk to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, but this one's rather pretty thing. I wonder if they asked David Attenborough if they could use some of the...
the Blue Planet
wildlife stock footage that he used. Because obviously now all that wildlife stock footage is high definition and very good quality, so I suppose it fits in quite well.
That puffer fish just didn't look real, but it
is. No, it didn't. Yeah. Is it real?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
No, it's CGI.
How do you know that? Did you read some sort of extras?
You can tell. Just look at it.
Okay, Kirby.
It's one of my favourite bits.
Illusion
has been
lights.
Completely destroyed.
Master?
Yes?
Master. Yes. All these blinking lights. I mean,
no sweat.
I miss the brightly lit TARDIS interior.
Yes, yeah, the white bright interior. Nothing in there apart from a bit of furniture every now and then.
But, so he's talking to himself for a bit. And then, obviously, we move into the Clara coming home from a disastrous date scene.
Yeah, I'm intrigued at this. They've used this a couple of times already, where they do the whole someone sat there just being really upset about it, and then they flashback. And it's a bit much.
What? No, I just spotted something. I didn't spot
what
it before.
Did you spot?
Hang on, let's go back. Look,
into the restaurant.
Hang on. Unless it's not. Hang on. There we go. Round things on the ceiling.
Oh, yes.
There's round things.
Yeah, the restaurant's got red round things. Circa TARDIS. Yeah.
Yes, I like that.
And if Danny has some sort of thing dealing with time travel, perhaps that's why in both of the scenes where we've dealt with Danny and we've done this back and forth flashback thing, maybe that's significant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe so.
But it's something just growl.
No,
that was a plane going over.
No, it wasn't. It was a skateboard. Yes.
I should take one of my cans off my ear and get a more accurate assessment of background noise. So they're having a sort of awkward...
I like it this time, though, because there is a little bit of chemistry. You know, they've been going on about it the last few episodes you're sparkling about someone. But this episode, you get to see them interact properly. What's the matter?
I've dug 23 wells.
So is Danny, actually, apparently. It's still a little bit of awkwardness, isn't it? Because they both sort of put their foot in it. And he's very touchy about any references to killing people, isn't he?
And she's touchy about extracurricular...
It's the phone. Oh, it's probably PPI.
Fair enough.
It's always something.
It's always something happening.
Hello? We've informed you that time is running out to claim your PPI refund that is owed to you. Indicates you have still not started your claim.
Well, I have, so you can bugger off. Right, so, like I said, because we keep on flashing back to the scene in the restaurant where it's going a bit funny, and then Clara sat in the bed looking a bit miserable. This is a bit weird, because she looks in that scene where she's actually come home from the restaurant and bumped into the Doctor. So which bit is she actually...
No, she's come into her bedroom. She's been sat in the sitting room.
Oh,
moping,
in the sitting room.
And now he's in her bedroom.
Sorry, that's clarified that one thing.
Yeah.
Clarified. so the Doctor...
I need you for a thing. We've got a thing.
Now, did you notice in the conversation between Clara and Danny, they mentioned Courtney again?
Yes, I did say that. Yes. Yeah. Isn't Courtney possibly a relative of Danny?
Possibly.
Mm.
I have a hypothesis.
Okay, we'll keep the hypothesis
when we get a little later.
Yeah. That's okay.
And no, I don't have any advance notice.
Yeah, I'm sure
for
you don't. Right, so the doctor obviously persuades Clara to come aboard because
for a thing.
And this culminates in her sort of sticking her fingers in the TARDIS telepathic.
It looked like a brain, you know.
But it was really good because obviously they've mentioned in previous stories the telepathic interface, but specifically I remember, wasn't it when he had to send a message to the Time Lords in the War Games?
Yeah, but didn't he use?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he used a cube. All right, therefore maybe it was in Frontier in Space.
When
he had to send a message to the Time Lords, ended up on Skyrim.
I could look it up.
You don't have to.
It could be that, because, yeah, all I can really remember is the cube. There we go.
Yeah. So, but obviously, it's been used a few times, the telepathic interface. So I'm quite pleased. And the way they created that little sort of slightly organic panel was really, really good. I like that. So this obviously
the whole concept of the dream is brilliant. I love the whole thing because everybody has had at some point, like the weeping angels. It's one of those fears. It's what if when you're not looking, someone's actually there?
Funny said that. I've had it. Hang on, let me finish. Hold that thought, Kirby. So I had a similar sort of, not so much a dream. I went to bed and I couldn't get off the seat because I was just so scared after watching Jesus of Nazareth with Robert Powell when I was a child.
Ooh, yeah.
And where they actually banged the nails into his feet. And I couldn't sleep with my legs out.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I remember that scene.
And I found it so uncomfortable. But that is this thing that reminded me most of it. Yeah, sorry, Kirby.
Now you made me see.
I said hold the thought. Did I not say hold the thought? See, now he knows. Now he knows what I feel like when they always interrupt me and I forget what I'm saying. Shall I carry on or are you going to try and remember? Right, okay, I'll carry on. Right, and so Clara, while sort of trying to have a dream or think about her dreams, gets interrupted or distracted
by her phone. Yeah, and she thinks about Danny.
I love how when they land and she exits, how her fingers get stuck.
Yeah, creepy.
The TARDIS still has a slight sort of thing about her, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite funny. Yeah, so there you go, and then of course.
And for some reason, they end up at a hotel in Wales.
Yes, yeah.
it's called The Rest, and I think it closed.
It looks
in the spring,
very much like The Shining. This whole shot bit looks like The Shining. I know, sort of on a smaller scale, people will probably pick about it, but yeah, I really felt that there was that whole creepy hotel thing about it.
As I posted last night, the windows outside don't match the window inside.
No. I saw that.
Okay.
Rupert Pink,
yeah. But it's also the fact the Doctor sent Clara back to the TARDIS in a very stern way.
So TARDIS, now!
She found it really quite good. Of course, first in it, since she didn't take any notice of him. Well, she was going to, and then she got distracted by...
Well, I quite like the way they both speak to each other like that through this one. You know, that she's like, shut up to him, and he's like, no! And then they're both sort of swap over being a bit childish about something if they're really keen on it.
Yeah.
When Fred and I were watching this for the third or fourth time last night, she commented that this looks... He reminds her of the Fourth Doctor, and she really likes that.
This is the grinning
costume. Yeah. I was talking about this, obviously, sort of Fourth Doctor's iconic scarf. I mean, and Ben said last week that the costume's changed. It seems to change every episode. He seems to have like a holy pullover.
He does. Yeah, I thought it had sequins on for a minute when I first saw it. I was like,
so basically,
the only real spacey
part of the costume that's consistent is the jacket.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Apparently, he was wearing that at a read through that was filmed.
All right.
Which was, why would he wear a costume at a read through?
I don't know. He obviously quite likes Doctor Who, doesn't he? If he's turning up to scenes that he's not involved in to watch them.
Robert Goodman, Reg, he did uncredited extra work and appeared as a mandrel in Nightmare of Eden. Oh, and he was in Full Circle, Ark of Infinity, and Trial of Time Lord as various bits.
Anyway, so Clara very inappropriately breaks into a little boy's bedroom.
Right. Okay, just ignore me.
You were talking about the guy from who was in the... Is that the night carer?
Yeah, I didn't mean to ignore you. I was just
less,
seeing what
less than
saying,
two
what
master.
Yes.
Less than 2 weeks ago, friend of the show Toby Hado, not Hadoki, had one of his conversations. Very interesting.
One of his conversations. What do you mean?
With the, his podcast.
Yeah.
What they call what's he call those things? They're part of the Big Finish podcast.
The news something.
Who's round? Who's round? Yeah, it was on August 28th.
Okay. Anyway, I was just saying, Clara...
Number 68. Who's round 68?
Okay. Clara inappropriately breaking into a little boy's bedroom.
I like this, that they go under the bed and then something's on the bed rather than the
other way around.
If I was
him, I'd be quite happy. Pleased. Now, that did confuse me, actually.
How could it confuse you?
What? No, the fact that someone sat on the bed and then they were sat on the bed and there was a physical person there with a sheet over them.
I love that. Did you see my cosplaying picture in Facebook page? No, there's a picture of someone covered in a red blanket cosplaying the guy on the bed.
That is that is going to be a common cosplay at
It's an easy one to do, isn't it?
If you've gone without a costume, you'd be able to find something like that, surely, at a hotel or something.
But that, I was trying to work out whether that was explained, and because there's a scene in which the sheet comes off, and you see a blurred out
thing
like
with
alien,
eyes.
Really,
yeah, it did look like a grey.
Yeah.
That's part of my hypothesis that I will discuss later. Yeah.
And also, I was thinking they could have explained it away by saying, yes, it was one of the other children just trying to play.
But when they pulled it off, though, it was just...
Yeah, you saw something that wasn't quite right.
I think it is one of the other children.
Okay. Ah. This is hypothesis.
Yes.
Fear. Yes.
Oh, well, wasn't Clara supposed to be in a children's home at some point? Maybe it's Clara.
No, she's never been in the children's home. Yeah, that was it. Never been in the Midlands in the children's home or something.
And she's had two different sets of parents, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, then the little soldier, which Clara very cleverly, because she's obviously a teacher and understands psychology, put all the soldiers around underneath of the bed to sort of
My daughter's just started getting scared of under the bed, and she's in a mid-sleeper, so there's quite a lot of room under the bed for quite a few ghosts and goblins. So
as well as not been scared.
She's got a special flashing light that all the different colours get rid of the different monsters.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I like that one, yes.
I liked where the doctor was talking to Rupert, and he was saying some scary stuff, and Clara just kind of backhands him on the top of the head.
Shut up!
Shut it!
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so...
He's not good with the touching, is he?
No.
Yeah, she sort of hesitantly puts her hands on his shoulders to ask to go back to the restaurant.
This is quite similar to the scene in...
the first one,
When the doctor takes Rose back and she looks at herself, is that what I look like?
Is that what I look like? Yes.
In that scene, before they go back to the restaurant, did you notice that he was using the Sonic and it wasn't doing what he wanted, so he picks up a real screwdriver?
Yes.
No, I didn't see that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, my husband spent quite some time last night looking up to see when a companion actually met his or herself. Mm. I was quite interested that he was sat there researching that while I was watching the episode.
Yeah, it was definitely Father's Day, wasn't it?
So what were his conclusions?
He came up with Amy Pond in The Girl Who Waited.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as he got. He'd been
obviously
trying all
Rose
the other
words.
Yeah.
Rose met herself twice in Father's Day, baby and... Yeah. Yes, go on in, Kirby.
Also, there were the web-only videos where Amy and Rory met themselves.
Okay. Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
So anyway, Clara goes back to the restaurant and tries to sort of say sorry, but it all goes wrong again. And Danny, because she calls him Rupert, Danny storms off in a bit of a huff. Oh, some news has just come through.
Is that
not Doctor
Who
related? And
the news?
Nothing particularly. Not particularly.
Well, you have to tell us now all the build
just
up.
Says Sean Wright has quit as South Yorkshire's police and crime commissioner following the Rotherham sexual abuse scandal.
Fair enough.
At first I thought that Orson Work, calling Orson, come in, Orson.
Yeah, I love that reference.
That's nice to have that reference.
Orson borrowed that spacesuit because it's Century Base 6 spacesuit, but then he's wearing it in the
video of him going, isn't it?
The celebration. Yeah.
I like the fact they're getting waving with a different hand, though, Orson. There's just a little touch of instead of using the right hand to wave, I think he uses the left hand to wave.
I must admit, since all this horrible stuff about beheading people, these people, and they're wearing that sort of orange suit, it, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when I see that for some reason. Just my mind going a bit funny, but I've changed from seeing the Doctor in a similar type spacesuit to thinking of them, unfortunately. That's just...
Hang on a minute. When he goes out the door, there's the TARDIS right there.
Yes.
But doesn't she end up going through a kitchen?
No, there is a kitchen.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, so it's a back door where the kitchen is.
This could mean something.
Well, when she says Rupert, when he says Rupert Pink, there's a glass breaks.
Is it?
Where's that? Yeah, did you not, if you
that's the, but I'll because the TARDIS, I don't know.
There's a glass break.
Things often break in kitchens.
Yes, I know, but it's when they're sat at the table and she goes and they say Rupert Pink and this glass goes on the floor. And I don't know if that's just happened and they kept it in, or...
I don't think that's going to have any significance.
Well, it's Moffat, you don't know.
I know, but I don't think it had. I think it was just for effect, because you often hear glasses break in restaurants, and it would be... Well, it would fit in with the restaurant and also add to a little bit of sound effect for that particular word, wouldn't it? Often that happens. You say stuff, don't you? And something happened in the background that sort of seems to emphasise it. That's in real life, though, isn't it?
I know, but you just want to read a bit more into things when it's Moffat doing things, because sometimes he highlights the really simple thing that you would just miss.
Maybe. That is the thing, but a lot of the time it is nothing.
True. That's true.
Most of the time.
I had pretty much the same discussion last night with my husband. He went, does that mean something? I was like, it could or it couldn't.
I'm
still bothered by we still don't know about the duck pond. That's just bothered me for a long time.
Okay. thanks, Kirby.
Okay, just ignore
me. So we go back to the future and back to the future, where obviously the Doctor explains where they found Orson, who right at the end of the universe, the last planet, and there's one of the spaceships from Space 1999.
Yes, I was going to say one of the spaceships reminded me of something, but the interior of this spaceship, has it been jazzed up from something else?
Probably. They're just reusing
Kirby, do you know?
Probably does, I suspect.
No, they built this set specifically for this. Mm-hmm. However, did you notice for a time ship, it's got roundels?
Yes.
Cool.
I noticed that.
I didn't notice that, but thanks anyway.
Possibly it's a TARDIS.
Ooh. Oh, he's talking.
And no, I don't have. I don't have.
No, he's not. He knows. He's probably He does.
Now, in the news footage when they're showing him
the BBC breaking news, which is standard for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
it says breaking news. Time travel is in my blood, says Orson Pink.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be a
great,
descendant
great
of Clara.
Great grandson.
Who's a time traveler?
Yeah, of Clara. Oh. That's the BBC catching up.
Oh, it is exactly that.
Mine should.
Who
knew
should have a little
sort
of noise, shouldn't it? When
something new
up.
About Doctor Who.
I'll talk about Who news. I know we'll talk about news in a moment, because that's just reminded me, and I'll forget later. I've got a little thing come through about 5-inch figures. Mm. I thought, great, finally a 5-inch figure of the 12th Doctor. No, it's the 11th Doctor in top hat with Clara. Great, we'll get a Clara figure 5-inch, but still no 12th Doctor. But never mind, that's me ranting on about. So yeah, this.
Wait till Christmas.
I bet it won't come out Christmas. No, it's too. They would have announced it by now, so people could pre-order them.
Now, is this the third time the Doctor's been to the end of the universe?
I don't know, mate.
I think so.
Possibly.
And still no Millieways.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's not fair. They should be. They should just pop in or walk past something that says Millie Ways 5 miles or something, you know.
Pardon me for a second. I have to put the cat out.
Okay.
I know. You did know it was on fire. Hang on.
Well, I'm half expecting my in-laws to turn up at the door and distract me for 5-10 minutes to move the cars. But anyway. Oh, you stop. I've got to pause it now, haven't I? I don't think it'll start up again if I... I'll leave it running. Shall we carry on? I was just talking because obviously this is the other instance in which the Doctor tells Clara to go into the TARDIS.
Yes, yeah. TARDIS, and now...
And she, yes, she does take notice of him. And of course that little soldier falls out of Orson's pocket when she realises that's the family heirloom.
It's in a protective case.
Yes, because it's a family heirloom.
Yes. Yes. She must, you know, she's twigging. She's got to twig because I think Orson knows the minute he's seen her.
I think the Doctor knows. Yeah. She keeps lying to
Well, he said that there's got to be some sort of family connection, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think we have a manipulative Doctor, just as manipulative as Seven.
Maybe.
He's got some great expressions, isn't he?
Yeah. But when you know, it culminates in him... Yeah, because there's a sign on the door saying, do not open.
Do not open. Yeah, that can only be seen with the mood lighting. I love that. Yeah, if you've got your own mood lighting, the accents are enough, really.
So, yeah, so it sort of culminates in him sort of being nearly dragged out, but Orson saves him. And he's got a bit of a mark on his head, isn't he? What was that mean?
He's been hit by something. Yeah, flying debris or something else.
And then that makes Clara... decide to stick her fingers in the telepathic circuits and take them to what she thinks is Rupert in a
safety.
Barn.
I mean, she thinks it's Rupert or Orson, doesn't she? Yeah.
And then she hears some adults talking, which sound like a children's home.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like, because it sounds like they're saying the little boy should come and join the other boys.
Yeah. It sounds like he's been sort of farmed out and it's being prepared for deciding what
to
future.
To go be a Time Lord or a soldier.
My hypothesis there is that this is either just before or just after the Untempered Schism bit.
Mm.
Quite possibly. But, I mean, I was trying to decide after second viewing whether... initially I thought, well, that's the Doctor, and of course it is the Doctor, but could it actually... Because I haven't mentioned, could it actually be the Master or another Time Lord? But I think it is a Doctor, simply because they've shown the War Doctor walking towards the
bar. Yeah, there was a lot of speculation about it being the Master, and I found that thing that I put on the Facebook page.
I don't think it is, simply because they've shown John Hurt.
It's got to be him.
The thing is, though, she's not supposed... She, one minute she knows this is Clara, knows about the Doctor's past and previous incarnations, and the fact that we spoke a few weeks ago about her not... sort of being able to attach herself to the new incarnation of the Doctor despite having remembered or knowing the other ones. Now, that proves that she does remember the other incarnations, because how would she know about, oh, you will come back here one day?
Yeah, how does she know?
So she does remember it. So why does she...
One day, I shall come back.
So why was she so funny when the Doctor had regenerated?
She should have accepted
it. It was startling.
But she should have accepted it more readily than she did, and... About as she had the same sort of readily of acceptance as people who have not known the Doctor's past or future. But so that was a bit... I didn't mind it. I'm just saying it just didn't fall right with me, because people were a bit confused as to whether she actually did remember meeting the other incarnations.
Yeah.
And clearly she did.
Yeah.
Certainly remember meeting the War Doctor. So if she remembered meeting the War Doctor, she would have remembered meeting...
Tennant, and
obviously Smith, because she was a doctor. But so she hides under the bed.
They'll never make it into the army if it cries like that. Doesn't want to be an army. Well, he won't go. Won't be a Time Lord or parochial like.
Because and then the Doctor wakes up and he does the Sontaran croak.
Is
what the Fourth Doctor first said. Or mumbled.
It's mumbling. I went back to Robot and tried to understand it, and he could have said that, so I suspect he did.
Yeah, somebody's obviously... There is something in a script somewhere that I suspect told him what to say or what to mumble in that scene, and maybe that's what it was.
And Sarah Jane very definitely says that he's talking about their first adventure, which was Sontarans, therefore, or a Sontaran, Time Warrior. So...
Yeah.
Had to be?
Yeah. The bit where Clara grabs the ankle.
Yeah.
When I watched the second time, did you see...
I've never had that dream, by the way.
No. But, you know, in the beginning of the story, when you see ankles being grabbed left, right, and centre, I checked that to see if it was a female hand grabbing the ankle, and it was.
Ah.
I'm not
sure.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't a different hand. It was the same hand. It was certainly a young female hand.
Okay. No, I didn't notice that. No.
It should be her. Or it actually was her hand. But
because then it all just joins together to the fact that it's his hypothesis and from his experience.
But that was a good scene. And then she decides she's going to... I think she realises it's probably the Doctor as a child and goes and comforts him. But the interesting thing, of course, is that the TARDIS has materialised in Gallifrey.
That's true. Yeah. But a memory.
They established in Day of the Doctor, even though it was already time-locked, that you could go back.
Yeah. But, therefore...
Plus the safeties are off.
Yeah, okay, of course. Why didn't the Doctor switch the safeties off anyway? And he could occasionally go back and visit us. So in theory, obviously, we know he's not the last of the Time Lords now, because it's been established that Gallifrey's back somewhere, they've got to be found, but they've been there.
Mm.
So that's quite interesting. Mm. So obviously that just opens up the whole...
Or Moffat's just going to leave it as being in a memory.
I don't think... I don't know, maybe... Yeah, so again, she's met the first incarnation of the Doctor now.
This is terrific. Her whole speech is fantastic.
This is the original Clara, rather than one of the split up millions of Claras. This is the original Clara who's actually physically met the first Doctor now. It's just the what would you call them when she walked into that thing, got split into millions of different Claras? What would you call that? There was a word for it, wasn't it?
A mess.
A mess. Yeah. I can't remember what that was called. I know what you mean, but I can't remember.
So that's essentially it. She, they take Orson home and,
right. Mark leaving Orson.
Yeah. Okay, so I won't talk about the next time trailer, which looks really, really good. Right, so I'm going to say what I think about it. It's a shame Mary
died. Yeah, there's so much to talk about.
Maybe Mary hated it so much that she just couldn't bring herself to come on the show.
Do it today.
Right, yeah. I don't want to go into the finer details of the story, simply because it's absolutely superb. And it's the new Blink.
Yes.
For me.
No.
Shut up, you.
Blink is scary.
Excuse me. No, I'm not talking about scariness. I'm talking about in quality of writing and story. And if you want to bring someone into watching Doctor Who, specifically the 12th Doctor, get them to watch this one, because it indicates that Doctor Who is still a very, very good TV show. Individual episodes. Obviously, there's no Missy. This no real proper monster, really. It's just a sort of imaginary monster. Again, it's all in your mind. Whereas Blink had a monster, this doesn't. This has just
your own imagination.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes.
It's great. I mean, the fact is that so far we've had good episode followed by a slightly better episode followed by a slightly better. It's getting better and better. I'm thinking next week it probably won't be that good, but they've done really well in maintaining a standard of half decent episode. This one is an excellent episode. It's certainly one of the best episodes we've had since Blink.
We had good episode, then bad episode, then excellent episode, then an even better episode. So there.
I didn't think Into the Dalek was that bad, to be honest with you. I quite enjoyed it. But, you know, it's brilliant. Really, really good. Quality Doctor Who. I know Andy Nunney. I didn't know whether he's been sarcastic. I think he wasn't. I think he was actually raving about it. Mm. Not Andy Nunney, sorry, Jeff Waddle.
Jeff Waddle.
Yes,
he loves it.
And he has, obviously, prior to this series, has been not particularly impressed with Doctor Who, if I remember rightly. He loves this, and I do too. Great stuff. Really pleased that such a good episode's come out. Sorry, Deb's just showing me a cosplay picture. So, Debbie, what do you think?
This is up there with Blink for me. Blink is one of my all-time favourites, especially of the new Who. But this, I just found this was brilliant. I've watched it twice now, and I will like to watch it again. And
only
again,
twice?
Yeah, I only had the time to watch it twice.
I've watched this five times.
I wanted to watch it.
Robert Ashobert. Robert
Ashobert.
She's watched that about five times.
I think it's brilliant. I was sucked in, and it's the first episode in the new, now 12th Doctor, that I've actually just sat there leaning forward and just watched it and sucked into the whole story. I was a bit, when I first watched it, I was really into the whole hypothesis that he put up, and then it flashed to Danny and Clara
thinking,
in the restaurant.
No,
and I was
romance.
Oh no, I don't want any more romance. I've had enough romance in Doctor Who. Mm. And but it really tied in beautifully. So I was a bit worried that it was just going to be
a different type of romance.
Yes,
isn't it?
And
more of a sort of.
I preferred it. So it really romance. Once I got over that initial, I don't think I want to watch them getting bungling up their relationship. I've had enough of this sort of thing, you know. And then it all tied in beautifully. I was like, yes, I really enjoyed it.
Can you say
it.
Coupling?
Coupling.
What's she on about?
Coupling.
That was Stephen Moffat's first claim to fame was...
Oh, yeah, Coupling, yes, okay.
Coupling.
Well, I,
yeah,
I thought Press Gang was his first claim to fame.
Oh, true, true.
Used to watch that.
Coupling. And, yeah, I basically, brilliant thumbs up from me all the way through. I really enjoyed it, and there's some really good ideas raised and lots of curious questions and things that I need answering, but hopefully in the course of the series goes, it'll be answered.
Yes, brilliant stuff. Brilliant. Kirby, what do you think?
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Okay, some of the best Doctor Who. Some of the best Doctor Who ever. Just loved it from the second that I read the script weeks ago. Sorry about that. I knew this one was going to be great. And this, I find it very interesting that of all the Marmite episodes there were, this is one of the most Marmite episodes ever if you go out into fandom. About a quarter of longtime fans hate this.
Be interesting to see what Ben thinks. Because he's a Moffat hater, so it'd be interesting.
People that I've always agreed with for years and years and years hate this.
Don't know to me. Yeah, so that's a co-founder of the show just saying goodbye. Is that your final departure from the show? You're just leaving the house?
I'm going to work.
Okay. Goodbye.
My hypothesis is that it is a kid under the blanket, and she is wearing a mask.
Ah, okay.
Which is why it's the face
weird.
Looks strange.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Because we, Fred and I looked at that again last night, and she was thinking alien. No, it's a kid in hiding under there. There is no monster in this episode. It's all in your head.
But you do think what's outside the spaceship that's turning the, you know, opening it, or does the Doctor open it?
The Doctor opens it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing there. It's just the cooling. Mm. It's exactly what the Doctor says. It's all the creaks and groans of this time ship making noises. There's nothing. And later when they're in the TARDIS itself, and it's making the noises outside the TARDIS, it's just the air escaping from the time ship.
Yeah.
And just this morning, as we were talking, I realized that both of the major scenes with Danny that we've seen have been this back and forth business with the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. There is something funky going on with him in time.
Yes.
I think that a lot of people that don't like this one have trouble with the fact that there is no monster.
I haven't
quite understood why they don't like it. In ideas why people hate
this.
Well,
we've got lots of feedback this week. Oh, that doesn't happen very well. I say lots, Mirza. More than we normally have, shall we say. Your dad's plus a load.
By the way,
stuff.
If she weren't so young, I was thinking it's Courtney underneath the blanket. But she's if she is his sister,
yes,
there's too much of a age gap there, because it's got to be 8-10 years.
Yeah, true. It's not, that wouldn't be the woman under, sorry, the person under the duvet. No. Right. So bearing in mind, like I said, we have got quite a lot of feedback, and my in-laws are imminently going to turn up to make me move my car. We better get on with feedback. What do you say, Kirby? I'm still disappointed we haven't got Mary. I think we'll have to give her a reprimand.
Yeah, she probably hated it.
Yeah. Right to know one way or another, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, she's just not showing up on the systems.
She would have sent a message, responded. Yeah, right, and right. I definitely have her phone.
Yeah.
Oh, there's been on the listen Wikipedia page. They now have a actor associated with the person under the bedspread.
Oh, okay.
How fascinating.
His name is K. Kieran Shaw, and he appears, is he, yeah, he's 4 foot two.
Okay. Thank you for that, Kirby.
Is he a kid?
No, he's 57.
Oh, crikey. Okay. Whoops, okay, sorry.
Right. Okay, right then. So try and
well, move. That just might mean that he's coming back later.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Let's move into the realm of feedback now. I'm going to have a go with this one, but if I start reading it really badly, Debbie, guess who's going to be reading it?
Yeah.
This is from Ryan Nicholson, and he says, "Hello, my name is Ryan, and this is my first time
Hello.
I've given feedback on this podcast.
Hello, Ryan.
Listen is my favourite episode of Series 8 so far. I'd loved the ambiguity of the monster and the idea of what's under your bed. I felt like after the orphanage scene, the episode just repeated itself, but instead of an orphanage, it was a spaceship. I love the idea. I love the data scene.
Date scene.
See, I told you. I was doing well up to that point. I love the date scene, but I don't know why Clara and Danny are trying to make it work. They clearly don't like each other. And don't feel like that's down to the acting, but to the writing. I would rank Listen up there with some of my favourites, like Girl in the Fireplace and Empty Child. I felt like the end scene wasn't necessary, but will probably tie in with the story arc somehow. Something interesting I'll add to it, is the meanings of the names of some of the characters.
Okay.
I can read this, but
yeah,
it's not.
Okay. Yeah.
Danny, God is my judge. Mm-hmm. Clara, clear, stroke bright. Oswald, God of the Forest, stroke Divine Power, stroke Power of God. Rupert, Bright Flame. Oswin, Divine Friend, stroke God's Friend. Kate, Pure, stroke
Virginal.
thank you for that. Osgood, Goth of Heavens. Kate Stewart, in brackets. Kate Stewart and Osgood will return in Series 8 finale. Mm-hmm. No spoilers. Ellie, Clara's mum. Light. All of these link into a theme of heaven and could be related to the Missy and the Promised Land. Well, how did you get those?
Well, you just go on when you put your name down. My name
yeah,
means
there's
bee.
This baby.
Oh,
baby
see.
Thing. Yeah, my name's...
Well, that is interesting.
Deborah. So
and my name is By the Church.
There you go.
I thought Deborah meant noble.
Does it? No, I thought it meant bee.
What, buzzy as in
bee.
Buzzy bee?
Yeah, buzzing bee. Yeah, it's Hebrew.
Mine's earth.
Hmm.
So
fair enough.
Apparently, Earth presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Or could be the way that
with a B by
Douglas,
the church.
The way Douglas Adams always referred to it, Earth or dirt.
Dirt, yeah, dirt.
Thank you for that. Right, go on, Debbie. Let's have your dad.
It's pretty long.
Is it? Well, go on then.
Okay, this is from my dad. I'm going to make him actually record it. I think he's a bit shy. Yeah. I remember way back that a fair proportion of Doctor Who stories were two-parters. Excellent though this episode turned out to be, I found myself wishing, with 10 minutes remaining, that this was one of them, but it turned out okay. I would love to know in which order Mr. Moffat writes his episodes. This one was so much better than the previous three that was like...
What's that noise?
That's a dog.
That's
and another
dog.
One. I think they're offering their feedback. This one was so much better than the previous three that it was like reading T.S. Eliot, an anagram of both litotes and toilets, incidentally, which is highly significant, but of what I'm not sure. You're not exactly sure what's going on for some of the time, but you know it'll make sense at the end, up to a point. There were too many excellent lines to quote them all, so here goes. Said you had a date, thought I better hide in the bedroom in case you brought him home. Scared is a superpower. Once upon a time, the end, dad skills. Almost makes
yes.
you wish you'd known the fellow, eh, Linus? I don't know why. Who's Linus? I think he meant you, Kirby.
Linus.
Huh?
I don't know. I keep saying, every time he says someone's name, I'm like, what, you mean Kirby? So I don't know if he meant
Linus.
You there. Linus.
Right, I can make a note of that. Linus equals Kirby. I'll start calling him Linus.
Sorry, Kirby.
Linus was in one of the characters in Peanuts, wasn't it?
Yes, that's what I thought he was referring to. And a new cool way to tell the year by the ozone layer and the drains.
What did he say about Linus? Because I think he was talking to you.
Once upon a time, the end, dad skills. Almost makes you wish you'd known the fellow, eh, Linus? Is he quoting something that I've completely missed?
No, but the one thing could be with Linus, Linus had a secure blanket.
God.
It was the blanket, yes. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well done.
Hiding under the blanket, Linus. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go on and do
my dad's a bit too clever. Yeah. And the new cool way to tell the year by the ozone layer in the drains. Wish I'd said that.
Yes.
You will, Oscar, you will. I have been a fan of proper time travel stories with unrealised timelines looping back on themselves for ages, no pun intended. Now I find myself wishing that the walls of the world would crumble and we could therefore be allowed alternate Betamax Earths again. Read Keith Laumer rather than The Long Earth. Having opened that can of worms, I shall pass swiftly along to where I even got my wish from last week, dodgy sets. The corner of the eye-level monitor screen above the TARDIS console desktop was coming adrift, and the blue tape on the edge of Orson's control board on his timeship was splitting in the hurricane of escaping air. Actually, I prefer to think of it as a superconductive tape for the Interocitor circuit, this island Earth.
Interocitor.
Yes, it. Thank you. I think you and my dad get on really well. The bad continuity when Clara's carrying Orson's shoulder bag down the TARDIS steps I won't even mention. Okay, so even if there were a few loose ends, we have it on good authority, see Blink, that it's all wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey anyway. You can always scramble a chap's memory, and those are the kitchen staff and restaurant customers. Was that a spaceman, dear? Nah. And was it happenstance or in the script that there was the sound of a glass breaking just as Clara says Rupert Pink? Either way, it was a good touch. Oh, I said that.
Check.
Yeah.
Let me check.
The barn was on Gallifrey, so the crying boy was the doctor. Now that was brilliant. Clara, the even more impossible girl. And she started the whole thing and realises it. Must watch, yet again, the Three Doctors episode, if only for the line, the Ravens look sluggish. Make a note to change their batteries. Paraphrased, yes, okay. John Hurt, an inspired casting choice. Unlike, I'm still afraid to say, Peter Capaldi. I could believe him as Cardinal Richelieu far more easily than as the Doctor. Sorry, everyone. I really hope that I've changed my mind by the end of this series. Watch this space.
Mm-hmm.
Fear makes companions of us all, but so does Doctor Who. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
David Vickers.
All right, there we go. I've got to switch some speaker on there. I hope he's got his volume up as I dangle
so
it,
Dad's
dangle it over
the
top
of
my Macintosh.
Broken glass as well.
Yes,
there's no reference
no.
to breaking glass in the script.
Yeah.
Okay, he's read the script.
It's probably happened.
Well, good evening, 20 megabyters. Andy Luna here. It's 20 past 7 Sunday night. It's sitting here with a glass of Pinot. Still on the laptop. So, Adam, is this really still too quiet?
It's
got
fine.
A PC
fine.
And I can't work out how to get Audacity to work on there. But, we'll look good at it. Anyway, watch last night's episode. And as I said on Facebook, I actually think it's one of the best episodes I've ever seen.
Yep.
I just thought it was absolutely outstanding. Now, the Doctor, I mean, I've said, for all three episodes so far, and there's four now, he's a mental doctor, a thinking doctor, he's not an action doctor. I think that's what you really saw here. You saw him thinking his way through a problem. You got Clara onto the TARDIS to find out what the dream's about, and we saw the beginning, talking to himself about dreams. I thought that really was really spooky. With a bit of shock, he put it down, and then it wasn't there. So I think this is what we're going to see. We're going to see the thinking doctor. Now, what you're starting to see now is the development of Danny Pink's story. You can see that they've gone for a date. I love the way Clara used the TARDIS twice to go back and rectify what had gone wrong. I think that was really interesting. Because she knows what she can do. It's interesting, in fact, she understands she can't meet herself, you know, when she said, well, that's what I'll look at from the back. And a nice bit of banter there. We've got away from the flirtatious relationship. I think we're almost onto like a brother-sister type relationship, or, you know, sort of that sort of thing. It's like a sibling type thing. You know, the way, I mean, I've got three sisters and a brother, and that's in a way the way I talk to them. Certainly the way I talk to the lovely Dawn. Now, the ghosts. I mean, are the ghosts like you say they were? You know, the thing under the bed. I just thought that was absolutely brilliant because it really, it's something you can all relate to, isn't it? You know, that moment of the night when you wake up. You know, in our house, actually, we didn't think we had a poltergeist, and we've actually had my brother-in-law, who's a vicar, come round to do a blessing in the house because we've had things have moved, things have turned up in odd places. We both felt presences. I mean, I've actually had Dawn talk to me when she stood at work.
Oh.
You know, it's things like that. So, the thing under the bed reaching out and grabbing you is something that we all experience, we've all had that feeling. So bringing that into the Doctor, and then bringing it out with all of them, with Clara to start with. Then you've got Danny, and you've got the alternative Danny, you know, and it's something about what was going on. The bit of the soldier, the little toy soldier is on guard, very clever, and then it came back at the end, didn't it, when he suddenly said it's a family heirloom. So presumably, Oscar Pink
Rupert.
Yeah, it's there. There's obviously Arcadia related. No, actually, I thought he looked like not Danny John Jules, Clay Charles. He looked a bit like him at first.
Yep.
But obviously, there's now going to be something there to taking it forward in Clara's timelines, you know. Yes, what I'm saying is that Tershi and Danny are going to get together. I mean, you actually saw them, we saw the kiss. You know, nice to get heterosexual kiss rather than lesbian kiss, or not kiss, as the case maybe we had recently. So we can see that's going to start happening. But it's the brilliant bit, though, really was at the very end, when you just heard the voices saying, you know, he should be the boys, he wants to be a soldier, he wants to be a Time Lord. And then you suddenly realise they are talking about the Doctor. And that was just, you know, I didn't see that coming, really didn't. And that's why I thought it's so clever that now you're going back, you've got a self-referential episode there, and you've got three people's past getting involved. You've got Clara, who tried to go into Clara's past, now you've got Danny, and you've got Danny in the past and in the future. What was outside? You know, what was the mythical thing under the bed? There's something there. And then you've got the Doctor. So this is going to come back. This is very definitely going to come back. You know, we've not seen the end of this as well. I mean, how they're going to integrate Dan into the story, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how do they bring him in. You know, does he become a companion? Do he and Clara come together? I think it's the way that Clara's acting, because she's a companion, but anyway, she's not a companion, because she's not with the Doctor all the time. She's got her own life, and this is the first time we've seen a companion have their own life. So will it be that Danny's part of the life that's not in the TARDIS? Of course, until he goes to the TARDIS, he can't be a companion, can he? So I think that's going to be interesting to see how we shape that one out, how that comes out. No mention of Heaven or the Promised Land or anything like that. So we've moved away from that, you know, the Bad Wolf image has gone from there. But I think we have seen that something's going to happen with Danny. And now we've really opened this one up with, you've actually gone to the Doctor's past. And this is the first time we've ever really gone back that far into it. So I just thought the way it was written was just superb. It just had you thinking, it had him on the edge of your seat watching it. I've only watched it once, I haven't had a chance to re-watch it, but I think even when I re-watch it, you're still with a moment, so you say, oh my goodness, you know, the real, with the, you know, the, not punch the air moment, it's a sort of, my goodness, what is going on here? It's the OMG moment, isn't it? You know, what is actually happening? And I just think it's going to be absolutely fascinating, isn't it? You know, it's just, yeah, outstanding. So there. So there you go, folks. Be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. Just a matter of sips of wine he had during that feedback. I just wonder how drunk he was by the end of the feedback, considering that.
Sounded very tasty.
Obviously, Kirby was highly, highly enthralled by that, because he's just slipped away for a few minutes, which really allows me to then read out Jeff Waddles. He said, when Moffat gets it right, he really gets it right. Listen had everything. Brilliant dialogue, brilliant acting, brilliant direction, creepy and fun. Some questions answered, hints at other things to come. Even the bits that didn't make sense couldn't detract from it. And anyway, we haven't seen where the season's going yet. By far and away, my favourite episode since it came back in 2005. And may well be my new favourite of the whole 50-odd years. It really was that good. And Capaldi really is that good a Doctor. 10 out of 10.
Wow. Brilliant.
I do like nice reviews. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Which leads us then to Patrick Bishop. It's always nice to hear from these Americans, you know.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for... the episode Listen. Where to begin? You know, this story is what I consider quote-unquote real Doctor Who. Stories like this remind me of when I was 11 or 12 watching the classic series back on PBS here in Los Angeles. Stories with this kind of tenor and this kind of plots really brought me back. It's my favorite episode this season and of last season. And it's probably, I'm just being conservative in saying it's in the top five episodes since the show's come back in 2005, in my humble opinion. It just really hit all the notes that I consider what a Doctor Who story is. And it just really felt good watching it. I loved every minute of it. Yeah, I mean, my review is that I thought it was brilliant. My only nitpick for the episode, I guess for the story, is I can't really figure out why Clara is so reticent on telling the Doctor how she's connected to the Pinks. You know, she didn't want to let him know how that they were in Danny's time stream because she was thinking of Danny at the time. But I don't know if that's just she's embarrassed that she's interested in a guy, or I don't really get why she would be so hesitant on letting him know that, yes, she knows this child, and yes, she knows this descendant of her fellow teacher. I mean, I think with that information, the Doctor could have used that information to the benefit of helping the three of them. But anyway, that's a small nitpick. But I loved everything about it. I loved the end. It was a nice twist at the end with it being on Gallifrey instead of Danny in an orphanage. And I liked it. And you can tell by one of the conversations between, I can't remember the astronaut Pink, Orson Pink, and Clara. You can tell that either Danny or maybe, you know, Danny's offspring is going to be a companion, because he said it's a family story of time travel, of one of his ancestors being a time traveler. So that's either going to be Danny or someone descended from Danny. But my bet is that Danny's going to be a companion at least once or twice in the TARDIS before his story has come to an end. But yeah, that's it. Loved it. Like I said, it's everything that I love Doctor Who about, and it really renewed my faith in this season. I was already liking Capaldi. And Jenna Coleman. I did not like Clara, the character, before this season. I thought she was just, you know, a plot device, mostly. But I really like her characterization, as I mentioned last week. She's really strong, really, really strong. So yeah, I have no complaints about her relationship with the Doctor. It is almost, they're almost equals in some respects, the way she tends to order him and the way he responds to her at times. But it's, I think it's a good give and take. It's interesting dynamic that they have. Interesting to see how this plays out towards the end of this season. Anyway, so that's my feedback, and hope you guys have a fantastic week.
Thank you, Patrick, and sorry, Kirby, but we have to carry on.
No, you could have waited just a minute. Jeez.
No, I don't care.
Right. Stop it. Goodness me.
Anything to add about that? Really, it's rather keeping up the theme of.
I wish I'd heard it.
You'll hear it later. I presume you listen to the show.
Yes, of course I listen to the show.
There you go. Nice. That's a reason for you to listen to it, to be able to hear Patrick's feedback. Okay, we've got more feedback. I was looking forward to this one, actually.
Philip Cerna.
Mm. Ooh. Hello, 20 Megabyte crew. It's Dr. Phil sending in some feedback. Well, I'm in my usual place, heading back to Illinois from Southwest Michigan after doing an orchestra concert. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to send in a few thoughts on Listen. I didn't send any feedback last week because I'm sorry. I'm one. I thought that the robot of Sherwood was absolutely dreadful. And one of the things I thought was interesting is the kind of playful banter back and forth between Robin and the Doctor felt more it was written for Matt Smith than Capaldi. I thought that Into the Dalek and the end, of course, of Deep Breath felt really strongly his own mark on the Doctor. And I thought that Listen was strongly, you know, his the Doctor's character was strongly represented in this story. And while many people may like, you know, or hate the Moffat tropes, boy, Listen is filled with them. And I thought that the twist that Oswald's Pink, you know, well, of course, it kind of is hinted that awesome. Danny Pink and Claire Oswald end up getting married at some point, because that seems to be a descendant, that everything seems around setting up Clara's departure from the TARDIS, because we were seeing her future. Also, that it sets up kind of something that connects the Doctor's beginnings to the Day of the Doctor. And I thought that was kind of really, really neat. Music this season's been pretty good. I'm not a fan of the new theme tune. I do like the opening credits for the most part. And I think that the acting in this story has been phenomenal. both from Jenna Coleman and from Peter Capaldi. So looking Thank forward you. To hearing what you guys have to say about Listen. I definitely thought it was at least a 9.5 out of 10 for me. But anyway, looking forward to seeing what happens with Time Heist. That looks like a lot of fun. And, you know, sorry to get back. I'm going to defend my position on the Robot of Sherwood. Is you're talking to a person who can't watch Shakespeare Code. I'm really sorry. Music's absolutely dreadful in it. And, you know, you did everything else about filming at the Globe and costume drama and writing and research about Shakespeare. But darn it, you know, those symphony orchestras didn't exist in the 16th and early in the early 17th century. Sorry.
Time
and,
travel didn't
even
need
though
it.
Two out of the three stock music pieces in Mask and Mandragora were about 30 years too late for that story, you at least have
picky,
an attempt
picky, picky.
To really give a period flavor. Okay. You know, a 17th century homophonic lute playing in 12th century England, sorry, didn't happen. Really, really rubbed me the wrong way. Although, I would say that despite my issues of wanting a little bit more history and a historical, that all of the writing for the dialogue was witty and funny and all of that. So there's a lot that's positive about Robot of Sherwood. It just doesn't float my boat. And so, anyway, it's just like a little bit more history in my historicals. And and boy, you know, it could have talked a great deal because the medieval play of Robin, of the romance of Robin and Marian, which had nothing to do with the Robin Hood myth, getting appropriated into the Robin Hood myth in the Romantic era. Boy, there could have been a little bit more to teach people about the meat of the Robin Hood myth. could have been so much more. And what it did have was a lot of fun. But anyway, missed opportunities, I guess. Maybe my opinion softening on Robot of Sherwood than it did when I first saw it. But anyway, looking forward to listen to what you guys have to say. Take care.
Bye. Yes, Dr. Phil's back, everybody. Amazing.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Phil. I think he's reading a little too much. He's trying to see too much in Robot of Sherwood.
Okay. But so it's nice to have him back. And honestly, Kirby, you shouldn't really distract him while he's driving. You could really get into trouble.
Right. Too bad you're not going to edit this too much because can add your
bad.
Sound effects.
I could do, but I won't. I'd like to introduce onto the show, it's Ben Shoveler.
Oh. Hey.
Hello. And Magic's in the room as well.
And Magic's in the room as well. So there could be some funny smells and annoying noises, considering my in-laws still haven't turned up yet for me to move.
Which one am I?
Either.
I'll be the funny, annoying. No, I won't be the annoying smells, as I've just got out of the shower. Picture that.
Very
ladies.
Nice.
So, Ben, we're in the
really
middle
not...
of feedback at the moment. Towards the end of actually. So I thought you'd come in actually at a really good moment, because we're still sort of have people sending in their thoughts and views on Listen. So you've come in at just the right moment to deliver yours.
Listen. do you know what? I've seen it twice now. And the first time I watched it, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning on 1 a.m. Sunday morning. Everyone else was in bed. It was dark. It was quiet. And I'll tell you, after the end of the episode, I didn't really want to go outside and have another fag because it was a little bit scary. I managed it, however, only to be absolutely shat up by the fact that a cat jumped on the fence. To which one or two expletives may have been released. The episode itself, first time I watched it, I thought it was quite good. Story flowed quite nicely. It was the Doctor she was talking to, and then all the Doctor Who old references, which some people have got way too excited about over the last couple of days. Oh, he's mentioned the old series. Oh, how incredible. Not really. It's the same show.
Yes.
That's right.
But on watching it a second time, a few questions started to pop into my little overactive imagination. Firstly, to do with Clara. Now, I thought her timeline had been split up into 100 billion trillion thingies and that she was with every Doctor ever and blah.
You don't want consistency from Moffat, do you?
Unfortunately, consistency is rather a big part of anyone's storylines apart from Stephen Moffat, who, as I said in the post I put on Facebook last night, he can't keep consistent between stories, let alone series. Let alone
certainly can't keep consistent
series.
In the quality of writing, because when this episode went out and I watched it, I didn't actually even know he'd written it. Got to the end of it, that was particularly good. I wonder who wrote that. I was actually quite surprised to see Stephen Moffat on the title there. Go on.
It was a bit of a giveaway from me at the beginning in those horrible new titles, which
I didn't read them.
And despise, that it says, written by Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, but I didn't read that bit. Oh, sorry, I blinked. I blinked.
All Moffat's doing is just copying ideas from other people. You know, blink, listen. Ooh, let's have a one-word title about something that you do with the human body or part of it. And then he starts. I say the Clara thing is just ridiculous. Oh, the flipping Oswald people. No, not the Oswald people. The pink people. I mean, seriously, I know he's going to try and explain it in a 3.5 minute segment in the finale, which will make absolutely no sense whatsoever, and everyone will go, "Oh, that was brilliant writing." But I'm still to be convinced. But it was a good episode on the first watch, slightly not so good on the second watch, because there was more things that you could pick out of it and just think, But I did like the bit with the monster on the bed. I thought that was... that was very good and very, very scary. You know, I also kind of quite like the way that the doctor gave that speech to Clara, who then gave it back to the doctor.
Mm.
But there was another thing in there that got me. It was the so when Clara sticks her fingers in this new thing that the TARDIS has suddenly decided to
make. It's not a new thing. It's just a newly designed thing. The telepathic circuits. They just renamed it telepathic interface.
Well, the TARDIS console never had all those squishy bits.
Does change from time to time. It didn't. At one minute, it had coral blooming sort of struts on it. And now it hasn't got them, and it's got a mixture. It does change. So we'll give
but
it.
But doesn't
that.
The TARDIS look good? Doesn't the interior of the TARDIS look good? Getting a bit anoraki, but it does look really. I like the inside of the TARDIS, but no, I didn't. I just think that's a bit. Oh, we'll write that. I bet it won't be there next week. I bet he'll write it. You know, it'll completely forgotten that he's written that. As it does so with so many other things. Oh, that'll be a good idea. I'll write that in, and then it comes to write next episode. He completely neglects the fact that he's written something in the week before. So as soon as he leaves, the better, really. But I've been saying that for the last
apparently
three series. So hopefully,
at the end of we've got a new producer for next year.
He's being rumoured that he's leaving at the end of the season, which will get a hallelujah. Everybody. I'll tell you what, the other thing that's quite interesting, I watched it with my mate, and he was just utterly confused by quite a lot of it. And my mum also saw it, and she hasn't seen, you know, she's not a massive Doctor Who fan. She'll watch it if it's on, if there's nothing else to watch. And she said it was very scary, and she only watched it at 7, and she wasn't by herself. She watched it when it was on telly as well, so she said it was too scary. Actually, she didn't watch it by herself. She watched it with my little nephew, who's 11 or 12, and apparently he was rather papping himself as well. scary for 7 o'clock, and she kept on saying, "It's a bit too scary for a children's programme," to which I had to keep on pointing out, "Mother, it is not a children's programme, it is a family entertainment programme." Yeah. If it was a children's programme, it would be on CBBC.
Yeah.
The fact it's on BBC One at 7:30 on a Saturday night, therefore makes it family entertainment, so it's allowed to be a little bit more scary. But the one thing she did say about it was, well, and I didn't put any words in her mouth or anything, and I just thought, Mother, you are wonderful, when she said, "It's not as good when the other bloke wrote it with David Tennant as the Doctor." Boom, get in, Mother. That's what I thought. So, you know, that's obviously where I get my thinking from, telepathically, because we've got a new telepathic circuit that we rigged up in my mum's house over the weekend that we told nobody about and will disappear by next week. So,
very good. But the fact is that normally when a Moffat story that's half decent goes out, you say, "It's all right." But you said it's quite good, which indicates it's probably one of his better stories. But I'm still interested to know which Moffat story you think is the best since Doctor Who came back.
Oh, it's got to be Blink, though.
It's still Blink for you. I thought it was.
It's got to be Blink.
I did say this is the best episode since Blink. But, sorry, carry on.
I'll tell you what my favourite... Let me mention what my favourite Moffat story is.
Yes?
Curse of Fatal Death.
No, I said since it came back.
Every everyone liked that one. I think it was probably one of the highest rated episodes ever. But I think Blink was good. And I can say it was good because he wasn't showrunner at the time, and so therefore he was writing to someone else's.
Sorry, I've got to go and move the car, so I'll let you carry on speaking.
Magic.
I knew that was going to happen.
Whoa, there goes my headphones.
Shut up!
Anyway, as I
was they've only just allowed him to put the car back on the street.
Sorry?
Has he just run over Magic?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Didn't he have to move the car off the street for them to repave the street?
Well, I did see the new photos yesterday of him showing off at the new surface outside his house.
Yes.
Didn't it look like 1960s Sheffield?
I wouldn't know.
Look up pictures of 1960s Sheffield and you'll think, oh, that's where Adam lives. Hey, back home and stuff like that. But the reason Blink was good was because Stephen Moffat wrote it and he wasn't, you know, the showrunner. He was under direction.
I think you might have to wait until all the noise has stopped.
Hang on a second.
That sounds like the theme tune to Dynasty, you see. Crystal Carrington. Blake Carrington. The other one played by Joan Collins.
Alexis.
Yes, very good.
Alexis.
I was always more of a Dallas fan, actually.
Yeah, I like Dallas more.
The new, are you watching a new series?
No.
Yeah.
You're
not?
No. Oh. I haven't had a chance.
It's reasonable.
Okay. Reasonable.
Are they done?
Adam's still moving the car.
Did I see that Alicia'd got a car now as well?
Yes.
But she hasn't passed her test yet.
Has she? I thought she had.
Has she?
Yeah, I thought.
Don't go near the island, people. Stay away from the island.
My youngest is going to get her license probably in the next couple of weeks, so.
Crikey. Well, they grow up so fast.
Next time I come to America in 2019, maybe she can drive you the 2.5 years up to see us wherever you are and wherever we are.
That's right.
I did love the fact that when I was in America last time, Adam was like, oh, Kirby's only 5 minutes down the road.
Is right.
No, Adam, it's a big map.
it's actually not that far to Disney World, but still, it's a good 10 hours.
10 hours? Blimey. Yeah. That must make a real day trip whenever you go down there, then.
I haven't been to Walt Disney World in 14 years.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been in 5 weeks.
Oh.
I miss it. Wish I could go back.
Well, we're going to
wish I could go back.
We're going to the Paris one, hopefully, in not next year, the year after.
Sorry.
I wish I could go to that one.
Don't worry, I will post lots of pictures. I'm starting to save now.
I'll save a little bit longer and go to the American one. The Paris one's rubbish.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
No, the Paris one's got some really unique things.
Well, yeah.
You don't want me to get into Disney stuff.
Like Disney in a French accent.
I'm as bad with Disney as I am with Doctor Who.
But the thing is, okay, in that case, can you tell me how long it took them to dig out the Seven Seas Lagoon?
About 6 months, I believe.
And do you know what happened to all the soil and everything that they dug?
Yeah, they piled it on top of the building, which is actually the ground floor underneath Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, are you allowed in those tunnels, if you ask?
Yes. Well, no, you have to pay like $60 for a tour.
Oh,
and you're allowed to peek in there a couple of places.
Yeah.
There are behind the scenes tours.
We moved on to behind the scenes.
I really wish I'd done that when I was over there. I found out about it way too late. And the other thing which I found quite incredible, do you know anyone, Kirby, who's ever made the, what's it called? Space Mountain. Do you know anyone who's ever made Space Mountain stop?
I was. Yeah. I've I know lots of people who have been evacuated from Space Mountain. I was evacuated from Space Mountain in Disneyland in 2008.
But do you know anyone who's actually been the cause of the ride?
Did you?
I did.
What did you do?
I dropped my bag.
How did you drop your bag?
I was filming the incredibly dark ride.
Hang on, turn the speaker on so Deb can hear you, Karen.
Hang on, there you go.
I've never been on Inter
Mountain Dare. No, right, it's talking Deb, about anyone other who's been Deb's, the cause.
Alpha Deb can hear you now.
Yeah, so we were. I thought it would be great fun if, in this pitch black ride, if I filmed it. And so I was too busy filming the ride and not busy enough holding onto the bag.
Oh my god!
You need a GoPro then.
Seconds, it slipped off my lap.
Oh my god!
It had all of our lunch in, and the wife's mobile phone.
Oh no!
It must have fallen about 10 or 15 feet. We got off the ride and they were like, "Ah, you're gonna have to wait till 10 o'clock." And I was like, "No, we're not. It's got everything we need for the day. You're going and get it for us now." "Oh, no, we can't do that, sir." And I said, "Well, if you don't go and get it, I'm going to go. Because I can see where I've got to go and get it from." And they said, "Oh, right, then we'll shut the ride down." And 5 minutes later, they came back with a bag. And the only thing that was broken in it was a bag of crisps. But what was really funny was, we went on the ride with my mum, my eldest daughter, and the wife. And after we came off and lost the bag, mum and the daughter went outside, and my youngest daughter was out there, and she apparently 5 minutes after, she was in tears thinking I was going to get arrested because my mum went out and told him I was going to be arrested for being too aggressive. Well, all I was saying was, if you don't
Disney
go and
police.
Get it, I'm going to, because we're not waiting till 10 o'clock this evening to get it back. Yeah, and then when I came back outside, it was all happiness and smiles. And what's amusing about it is that my mum and dad are massively embarrassed by the whole situation, whereas I think it's one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
Yes. So you never saw any of the actual backstage areas, though?
No.
Oh, yeah.
They probably weren't very keen to take me anywhere after that.
I did see backstage of the Disneyland California Space Mountain, because they apparently there were too many people on a particular rocket train, whatever you want to call it, and it was too heavy, and they shuttled us off onto the side place.
Well, the girls are having a chat. I do apologize.
About buying things.
The Debs are chatting,
and you had to walk the rest of the way through it. Wow.
Yes.
Sorry. I wanted to do the tunnel. I wish I'd done the tunnel thing now. Gone on the underneath bit, because that just would have made me holiday that.
Well, you could have listened to some of the stuff that I post all the time about Disney, and you would have found out about it.
Well, I listened to the one when I was there. As I said on it, it's the first time it's ever been any relevance to me, so... I'd love to go back, but unfortunately, money. Oh, but I've got a job interview. I've got a job interview, everyone. I've got a job interview.
Yay!
That's
Hang on, where is it?
What were you after?
This is supposed to be all my. Oh, there it is. Ben's got a job interview. Let's hope it plays quite quickly because this computer does get a bit.
Are you going to keep in all our sort of segueing into Disney?
Yes.
Good.
He doesn't feel like
Disney
referenced
editing. Doctor Who, didn't they?
Oh, so everyone who listens to the podcast is now going to know that I'm the idiot who stops Space Mountain.
No, I'm leaving. No, because there is. I was watching one of these awful programs on the Disney Channel. No, I wasn't watching. Actually, Elizabeth was watching. There was a reference to Doctor Who. What was it? Was it the Wizards of Waverly Place?
No, it was that new one. That Maddie and something.
Maddie.
Liv and Maddie.
Liv and Maddie. Yeah, there was a reference to Doctor Who in it. She did, yes.
Well, there you go.
My ears nearly fell off. Yeah, yes. Yeah. One episode, Liv and Maddie talked about time travel, and she said something about Doctor Who. And I was astounded.
Well, it won't be too long till I see that.
That's only because Disney are probably going to try and buy the franchise at some point. Anyway.
Disney are going to buy the... Oh, no.
Yeah, well, you know
what's the name of that show?
Liv and Maddie. You won't want to watch it again. And to find the episode that's got the Doctor Who reference will mean that you'll have to watch lots of awful television to get to it. Anyway, just for
and the theme tune.
Hello
goes,
to any
we're
Disney
up with
people.
The sunrise.
It's just as irritating as every other program. The only one of those programs that was half decent was. There's the one of Charlie, the little kid Charlie. What was that called?
Good Luck Charlie.
Good Luck Charlie. That's actually quite good, but the rest of them are terrible.
The other decent one is Jesse.
Jesse, I like Jesse herself. The program's awful. Yeah. Irritating kids.
I don't care much for the storyline or anyone else. I could quite happily watch that program with the volume.
Yeah, she's
down,
nice.
I'm quite glad that my 4-year-old
Debbie Ryan. That's another Debbie.
Another we've got too many Debbies.
Oh, anyway, right, so I've got one more bit of feedback to deliver. Which hopefully I'll time this right.
Why do we talk out loud when we know we are alone?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm recording for the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I've noticed a possible Star Wars reference in Robot of Sherwood. The cyborg sheriff is pushed into a vat of molten gold and becomes C-3PO. Listen, by Stephen Moffat. The last man on Earth sat alone in a room. There was a knock at the door. Knock by Frederick Brown.
Yes.
Previously, the scripts had made fun of the physical characteristics of Eccleston, Tennant, Smith and Capaldi. Now they've started on Jenna Coleman. This story is a causal loop. The Doctor is haunted by childhood events he brought about because he was haunted by them.
Thank you. Yep.
Thank you very Danny much. Says his date with Clara had to be delayed of family stuff. I wonder if he's hiding something, as he seems to be a loner. Orson says time travel runs in his family. That could mean Clara is his ancestor, or that yes. Danny is going to travel in the TARDIS. The creature was never seen, banging on the spaceship, reminds me of the story Midnight.
Yes.
Yes.
In this case, though, there might not be a creature.
There isn't.
The Doctor has a sonic screwdriver, which was confiscated by the Sheriff of Nottingham. Mm. The companion and the recurring character are teachers, but it is the Doctor we see using a chalkboard every week. Clara goes from a restaurant to the end of the universe. The Doctor shaped Danny by planting a dream of Dan the Soldier Man. Clara similarly shaped the Doctor. She remembers the Doctor's future. The companion is very, very important. Again. The pendulum has swung a long way from the classic series companions. Were the two adults in the barn the Doctor's parents? Or is he in a children's home?
I think he's in a children's home.
They discuss him as if he's not their child, but he might be. Mm. Just this once, nobody dies. Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Bye for now.
Yes, a nice little accidental tribute to Robin Williams there, which I like. Yes, thank you,
Ian. One thing I'd add to that, as he mentioned starting on Clara. I'll tell you what, if I started on Clara, you might have
lost it. Goodness if I started on Clara, me.
Okay.
In that dress she was wearing the other day, goodness.
And just for that, I'm going to make you play this week's edition of. Well, you won't get this one. I nearly didn't queue up the theme tune.
No.
Hang on. Theme tune. Stop talking over the theme tune. Right, I better write down some names then. Where's my pen? I had a pen.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Who's nicked my pen?
Well, the thing that's hiding.
Give me your pen and your bank card and I'll... No.
You won't get much out of that, I'm afraid, Kirby. Okay, right.
Did no one notice that I disappeared?
Did you?
I did. As I picked my phone up, I accidentally pressed hang up.
Okay.
No, nobody noticed.
The theme tune was playing.
That's probably what Mary did about 5 o'clock this morning in her time. Not our time.
Well, she got a different, some sort of time.
She just never appeared.
Appeared, she didn't appear. No.
So that's a good word, that one.
I don't know what to use that.
Yeah. Did she a beard?
A beard.
I'm trying to do that, you know, when your fingerprint thing on the iPhone. To you know, fingerprint recognition.
No.
It doesn't work
it
doesn't on the
work,
iPad.
No.
I just tried to do that. Okay, right. First question goes to Debbie. Don't look over my shoulder.
I'm not looking
girl.
Over your shoulder. I'm looking at my cup of tea.
Is that your surname, Debbie? Don't look over my shoulder.
Yeah,
Every week I hear
that. I've got to make this window bigger. There you go. Talking of windows, apparently, I saw on Facebook somebody got one of those phone calls that said, we've detected there's a problem with your windows. Please turn on your computer and I can talk you through how to get through this problem. And the woman said, really? Oh, my God, that's amazing, considering I've got a Mac.
Yeah.
It's really got infected.
To them every time they phone up. They don't say like that. They say, hey, oh, dear, I got some sort of news.
Well, somebody also had the same call the same day and said, are there? Well, you know, the window cleaner around this morning, they look perfectly fine. Anyway, moving on. Debbie, this is your question. Why do we talk out loud when we know we are alone?
Because perhaps we're not alone.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Not, there is a missing word there, but it's just essentially what was said. 2 points. Hang on, I missed my correct button. Correct. I should colour them out. Yeah, there it is.
Is this the correct button?
Yeah, there's the correct button.
Where's the incorrect button? Oh, it's underneath it. That's handy. Right then, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What word was the title on the Doctor's blackboard?
Listen.
What the earth is going on? You're having a wee. Wrong, Kirby.
Is that me?
Yes, it is you.
Yeah,
hello. Are you in the toilet?
My stinky runny stuff out of the wash.
Lovely.
Was that correct?
No, you weren't correct, Kirby, no.
My red running top has ran into everything else, quite literally.
But if you use Daz...
Is it question?
No, it isn't, so none of you got that right. The answer was evolution. Right, Ben, this is your question.
Oh my god, it's okay, really red water. Sorry, speak again.
Yeah, the question is, why is there no such thing as perfect hiding? Shut up, Magic. It's got nothing to do with you.
I was just about to get the answer then, but then Magic put me off.
Oh, yeah?
There's no such thing as perfect hiding because everyone wants to be found.
No, anybody? Hang on, I've got to press that. Yes, anybody?
No.
How would you know?
Correct!
Yay!
Oh, my goodness, Kirby. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What colour shirt did Danny wear in the restaurant?
I know.
Was it pink?
Oh, bloody hell.
Correct.
I knew a question for one.
Yeah, even Debbie knew that one.
Right, Kirby.
I never noticed that it was
no,
pink.
No, me neither.
No, I just it was pink.
Never mind. Kirby.
Master.
How was Clara's day?
Not as good as it would have been if
you'd
have bumped into
it. Good? I don't know.
I'll give you a point for good, because it's one of the words that was mentioned.
Pretty good.
I don't know.
Anybody for the other two?
Awesome.
No, the answer was good, you know, teaching.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right, Ben?
Yes?
Who could Clara kill sometimes?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
The student person.
Whose name is?
Do I know?
I know.
Kirby knows.
Courtney.
Here's the correct answer.
Bing.
Right. Debbie.
Wasn't that my question? Oh, no. Right then.
I don't know.
Yeah, Carrie, no, it was Ben. So there you go.
Make your mind that one.
I watched this episode twice. Right. I still don't know.
Right, this is Debbie's question. How many wells did Danny say?
23.
Is the correct answer. And Kirby's really annoyed
because
he knew
is.
That one. Right, Kirby.
Master?
What is sitting on the inside TARDIS door phone cupboard?
I know!
I Dead saw that. What was that?
Well, that's the answer I'm looking for. If you could come up with it, that would be...
I know that there was something there, but I didn't quite think
Ben knows this one.
Are you saying you don't know? Because Ben seems
it's
to
like
know.
It's like a tumbler of some sort of glass.
No. Go on, Ben.
It was a candle.
It Yay! Was a candle. And that also deserves a... Right, Ben.
Oh!
What did Clara stick her fingers into? Why did you end up with that question?
Did you have to give him that? I know.
Why did you end up with that question?
I know.
Go on then, Ben.
What did Clara stick her fingers into?
Yes.
I know.
Well, just take them out now. Let me just say, lube was used. It was the TARDIS's telepathic...
Yeah, it was the TARDIS's telepathic whatever.
Two.
And that was I have to do another one of those. So. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
The actual answer was TARDIS telepathic interface. Yeah, but Debbie, what distracts Clara while she was in the tune with the with the TARDIS?
Her phone ringing.
I didn't even say the question right, but you still got it. Right, Kirby.
Sorry.
Master.
Where does the TARDIS first take the Doctor and Clara?
A hotel in Wales. No, the children's home in...
Lost.
I do need the title of the... Obviously, it is a children's home, but it's what its actual name is.
What is
that? I dread to think.
I know. Okay.
I don't
remember. He doesn't remember. Right then, anybody?
It was in, yeah, it was Midlands, Gloucester.
No.
It was in Gloucester.
No, I'm going to give Ben a point because it was mentioned that, but the answer is West Country Children's Home. Right. Whose question was that?
Is Gloucester in
that
the West?
Kirby. This is Ben's question.
Yeah, it is Kirby.
Yeah. Okay. But that's not the one. It's actually called West Country Children's Home. That's the answer I was looking for. But Gloucester was mentioned. I'm going to give Ben a point for that one. Whose question is it?
Mine.
Ben. Right. Ben. Right. What time?
He's down a well. You won't get this one. He's down one of the 23 wells.
You won't get this one. What time was it when the doctor chatted to the caretaker bloke?
What time? Yes. Night time.
No. Yes. What time?
No, I'm sorry. That's the right answer. It was night time.
It was, but specific time I was looking at. Anybody?
8:37.
It was like 1 in the morning, wasn't it?
No, it was 2 a.m., right. Debbie.
Yeah.
I've lost where I was on the sheet. There we are. What insult does Clara level at the doctor while comforting Rupert?
I just posted that to Facebook.
So you'll know the answer if Debbie doesn't get it right.
Probably.
No,
Debbie
no,
doesn't
no,
know.
No, don't know.
Right, go on in, Kirby.
Let me bring up that post.
Oh, hang on, I could have done that. Right, yeah, I'm bloody doing it
go
now.
On, Kirby.
We're racing each other now.
Kirby, no, you missed out now.
I didn't write that one down. It was something about being a stick insect.
Grey stick
point,
insect or something.
I'll give you a point for
yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
That even deserves one of these. But the actual full answer was big,
yes.
Grey-haired stick insect. Mm-hmm. Right. Whose question was that?
Big, grey-haired stick
all right,
insect.
All right, Kirby.
Master.
What rank is the broken soldier?
Colonel.
Is the correct answer. Ben?
It was the easy one.
I was expecting it to be to become a brigadier later.
Okay. Ben?
Very good, Kirby. Yes?
What did the doctor ask Clara to get under control when she first meets Orson?
Eyes.
Is the correct answer.
I got one!
With not that many questions left, I might as well have a score check. In a joint last place with 6.6 is Kirby and Ben. And in the lead is Smarty Pants Debbie with 8. And talk about Smarty Pants Debbie, it's Smarty Pants Debbie's question.
Okay.
How did the TARDIS get to the last planet, as in the script?
Through the interface speaking to the
doctor's
brain.
I was talking about the dialogue spoken. It was explained how it got to the last planet, and you said... Time's up, right. Anybody?
Well, the doctor went back onto the things that Clara had done on the time circuit thingy and followed them, to follow the telepathic links.
No, the answer, as far as the dialogue goes, as I say, is in the dialogue, was... Some idiot turned the safeguards off.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right, Kirby.
Ooh. Master.
What three symbols were on Orson's spacesuit? Spacesuit.
Who just got a text?
What, me?
SB6.
Why am I surprised you got that one right? Ben.
It's because I talked about it an hour ago.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Right. Ben, what did Orson write on his spaceship door that can only be seen at night?
Oh, I know.
Or when the mood lighting's on, specifically.
Don't open the door.
Yeah.
Is the correct answer. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor initially suggest the knocking on the spaceship hull was?
Well, I've got several options.
Well, one will do.
Atmospheric pressure equalising, hull cooling, temperature differentials, system shifting to low
power. It's worse than me.
Yeah. Kirby.
Master.
What does the doctor... Sorry. Oh, that's right. What does the doctor know he has...
What?
I've got to read this one. I don't understand what I've written. What does the doctor know he has... Right, I should have put a comma in there.
Okay.
What does the doctor know he is as Clara is sent to the TARDIS? Because Clara says something he says, I know.
Yeah.
What does he know?
He's an idiot.
Correct. Right, Ben.
Yes.
What did Clara say her plan is? A plan is, sorry. What a her or a plan is. What does Clara say her or a plan is?
Good idea.
I must have watched a different episode at that point.
Anybody nobody seems to know this one, thank goodness.
Telepathic?
No. The answer is not a plan, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that.
Right, with three questions left, the scores are currently in last place with 8 points. Amazingly, and that certainly deserves one of these. Ben. And in joint first place, Debbie and Kirby with 10. So it's very close with three questions left. This is Debbie's question.
I just got a text. I wonder what's going on.
What?
Was that you that went, eh?
That's probably Mary saying, sorry, I can't be
on
the show this week.
Mary says, oh my God, I forgot it was this morning. I had a very busy weekend and lost track of the date. So very sorry.
That's on chapter 13 of Rhys Parton's Book of Excuses, which you can purchase, I think it's on Amazon. Right. So
why would you want to?
Well, everybody seems to use them, so somebody must have. Right. Debbie, yep. Which of the boy doctor's ankles did Clara grab?
His left.
Well done. Shut up.
Well, you had the choice of two and you got the right one.
Yeah.
Debbie, according to Clara, what is fear like?
Oh, yes, I know.
Debbie knows.
I don't know.
Well, superpower.
No, I'm going to say this to you as well, Debbie. Anyway, Ben, do you know?
Fear.
What's fear like, according to Clara?
Companion.
It's like a companion.
Yes, Ben, I'll give you a point for that. I should deduct a point off Debbie.
No!
For
Charlie,
Debbie should lose a point now, yes. And I should gain all the extra points.
I'll give you this one. There we go.
You took two off.
No, I took one off. Looks like two, but it's actually one. Right, and final question goes to Ben. Who is Stephen Moffat's co-producer?
Oh, my.
No.
Peter Davidson.
Funnily, that's not quite right. Anybody?
Brian Minchin.
Here's the correct answer, so you get the point.
See, if I'd had Wikipedia open...
Yeah, she's got Wikipedia open.
Right.
Had it written down.
Final scores are in last place.
Well, he usually asks obscure questions like that.
Final scores in last place with a very respectable 9 points is Ben. In second
place, what happens when you watch an episode.
with 10 points is Kirby. And with 13 points, the victor this week is my friend Debbie.
Yay!
So, there we go. Actually, hang on, I better play the end of the theme tune, don't I? Oh, it's the beginning of the
wow.
Same difference.
This is slick.
No reverb on that either, which is a shame, because I have a fun when editing may return when I'm less busy. So yes,
I'm a bit concerned as to what it means by rimshot.
Rimshot?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know what a rimshot is?
This is the rimshot. It gets played after most of the things that Kirby says. Right.
I didn't know it was called that.
Technically,
a rimshot.
No, sorry. Technically, a rimshot is when you've got one drumstick on the snare drum and you hit that stick with the other stick. And I'll explain that really badly. You're leaning one drumstick on the snare drum, when it's also over the edge of the drum, and then you hit that stick, that's a rim shot.
Okay,
right.
Because I'm a drummer.
Thank you.
I was a drummer when I was a teenager.
I'll give you 2 points, but I'm not going
to. So was I, actually, Kirby, but I'm trying to buy a new drum kit now, but every drum kit I bid on eBay goes above the £9 that I've got.
Okay, I've got to welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Three new, it says.
I don't believe that. I believe it when I see it. Right. So now Ian Kirk tells me that the last person I welcomed were persons. Which is the one at the top of that?
I think it was Michael Kaczynski.
Right.
Is
so therefore, it's three people.
Okay.
Terry Wolf, I can pronounce that.
Bad.
Dean Hill, I can pronounce that.
Terry Bad Wolf.
And Santa Glenn Heald, or Held, depending on how.
Santa at the North Pole, eh? Cool.
Which is added by Kirby Bartlett Sloan. So, Kirby, I hope this Santa is a Doctor Who fan.
I went out. I always check the various connections and what they've liked.
Interesting to see what their favourite episode would be, because no doubt that would be possibly a Christmas episode. Right. Time to do some Doctor Who news. They've released a 3.75-inch figure of the 12th Doctor, much to my annoyance. I want the
Posable.
Yeah. Oh, right, so what we got so far? I went back and forward in time there. Lots of stuff actually on here. but nothing of any interest. So let's move up here. That's okay, nothing. That's not interesting. Interesting. Well, what's interesting there then, Debbie? Nothing. There you go. As I was saying. Oi, stop. Oi! You can stop messing around with your microphone. It's like having Matthew back on the show. Stop it. Well, I'm going to play that. There's a nice poster of Listen.
Yeah, I like that.
Radio Times poster. So the 3.75-inch figure of the Doctor, which does look good. It's just, you put it up on the shelf next to Matt Smith up there, and you look like a dwarf.
Well, one of my ambitions is to own the house one day, and to have a room that's mine for a study, and to basically do what Kirby did and put the Doctor's door, you know, the TARDIS.
Well, I own this house, and as you can see, I haven't got a room.
Put loads and loads of posters up, and just have it as my little den, yes. And it's going to be full of little figurines.
I do dream of winning the lottery while walking the dogs, and having a house big enough to have... A large office.
Now, is that
stop messing
specified?
Around with your microphone because I can't hear what you're saying.
What?
Is that very specified in the fact that you've got to win the lottery whilst walking the dogs?
Whilst walking the dogs.
Have you sat on your microphone?
No, I've put my headphones in so I can go out for a fag.
All right, okay. Overnight viewing figures for Listen, 4.8 million, which is a 23.5% of the total TV audience. He's walking outside. Doctor was once more the second most watched programme on UK on Saturday night, beating the X Factor.
Whoa, oh, come on, like hang on. Doctor Who
beat the X Factor. Oh, no, hang on, I've misread that. Beaten by the X Factor. which had 8.5 million views. against Doctor Who, the Celebrity Chase had 4.1 million, so... That's pretty good going. Final ratings for Robot Sherwood. Bloomin' heck, that went up a bit. 7.28 million. That's quite a standard jump from 5, isn't it? Acting course based on Doctor Who. The National Institute of Dramatic Art in Australia. It's Ben making a noise. Stop it. Institute of Dramatic Art in Australia is to run another range of courses using Doctor Who as a basis to teach participants skills in the industry.
That's a great idea.
It is. That's but it's in Australia.
I know, what a shame. Mm. It's for kids as well.
This one got an AI of 82.
Maybe Reece
is that good?
Go.
Audience Appreciation Index of 82.
What does it mean, though?
I don't know. How much the audience enjoyed the
programme. Yeah, but what does it mean? What does 82 mean? No, the Appreciation Index is a measure of how much the audience enjoyed the programme. The score out of 100... is compiled by a specially selected panel of around 5,000 people. Go online and rate and comment on the programme. Overall, Doctor Who is rated slightly higher with women rather than men, and scored highest within the 16 to 34 age group. No, that's not me then.
No, not me either. Mm.
None of us. X Factor once again topped the ratings for Saturday for Sunday with Doctor Who. Sunday. Anyway, Angus Lennie has passed away. There's an actor who played. Who did he play?
Isn't it?
Oh, do you mind?
No, I didn't.
Down
the
there.
Cup. I didn't. The cup.
Recycling. Yes, he was in the blockbuster movie The Great Escape, and he was also in The Ice Warriors, died at the age of 84. Germany foxes to broadcast German dub of Series 8 in November.
Exterminator. I am the doctor.
Sorry? Ben, you're making a right racket.
Am I? Don't know why.
Oh, why? God. Deb has just put herself in great danger. That's Alpha Deb. By going into the realm of contamination.
So that I had to go,
which nobody apart from Alicia has been in for the last 2 months.
She can't even go to put the clothes into the washing basket.
Now, she's always had a stare and floor drobe, and things will never
stare
change.
Stare and floor drobe.
Right. BBC Worldwide are to release a DVD box set for the United Kingdom featuring all of the regular adventures of the 10th Doctor as played by David Tennant. Why?
In this massive 26 disc.
I thought it was a board game and a sort.
Yeah, I know.
and then there's released some pictures of next adventure, Time Heist. That does look like Liz Tang, but I don't think it is.
I was going to say it looks like Guy from Trooper.
And that essentially concludes. Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, sounds like Ben stopped making silly noises and is now back with us.
I've had me fag now.
Gosh, right, you sound so husky.
Mary, who are our sponsors?
Oh, thank you.
Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Whowon.co.uk.
Deep Breath by Meven Stoffert. It's a DVD. It's released in 2014. Runtime 76 minutes. They're actually releasing it as a one-off.
One-off disc. DVD?
Mm. Ooh. I'd wait until that. I downloaded it off iTunes.
I'm going to get that tote bag, definitely.
Oh, yeah?
Mm, I love that. Because people will be looking at it going, what?
That was a text message of Mary's text message forwarded to me as a text message so I could post it on the Facebook page.
Okay. So is it basically, what does she think of the episode? What does she think of the episode? Does she say?
No, she didn't.
Well, that's helpful, isn't it?
Drink lips.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. The tote bag that Debbie mentioned is £9.99. It features the Van Gogh painting of the TARDIS exploding.
I like that.
Mm. So you can get a giant white Dalek soft toy. I'd like one of those. That's really cool.
I would. Apart from it's a telly. Don't forget,
everybody. Don't forget to play the game that I posted on Facebook on the Facebook page.
It's
a version of a game called 2048, which is where you basically start with, you've got a 4x4 grid, and you've got to basically match the numbers up with each other, but this is the Doctor Who version, so you start off with a picture of William Hartnell, and then you get another picture of William Hartnell, and you put them together, and it turns into Patrick Troughton, and then you get another William Hartnell, and then you've got to find another William Hartnell to match up to another Patrick Troughton, which then, if you put two Patrick Troughtons together, turns into John Pertwee, and two John Pertwees turn into a Tom Baker, and two Tom Baker. It's really, really addictive.
Okay, I'll have to play that.
I've spent hours and hours playing on it over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I played that months ago when it first showed up.
Oh, you would have done.
Oh, it's great.
Talking
fun,
about the Fourth Doctor, you can buy the Fourth Doctor scarves, both versions of them are from lavazi.co.uk, along with the Dalek carve, yes it is, and the Paisley scarf belonging to the Seventh Doctor and his jumper, which I'd like to have. Thank you, Debbie. That's Alpha Debbie. And I'd also have... Debbie just counted number one with a middle finger. Don't quite know what she meant by that. Hello, is that somebody at the door?
Somebody at the door.
And also you can get a scarf which is very similar to the First Doctor scarf, which isn't supposed to be Doctor related. Is that my stuff? No, it isn't. Because it can come from. That's it. So whowon.co.uk, where you can buy some stuff, and lavazi.co.uk, where you can also buy some stuff.
Yeah.
Or if you want to buy us some stuff, you can go there yourself and send them to us. If you want to send in feedback to the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Shut up, magic!
There we go. Well done, .com.
What time are we going to be recording next week so I can tell Mary?
Well, I'm aiming for Monday next week simply because...
You've
there was
got
a reason for Monday.
Editing with wedding videos.
I know, but Monday I think is probably going to end up being the best option. SD cards.
Weddings we've got next week.
So I'm going to suggest Monday simply because I'm not available on Tuesday, Sunday.
They're different.
Tuesday I'm working.
But you're available Monday. She's available
Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a different brand, but they do the same thing, Deb. They're fast write SD cards, different make. I don't care. I can't afford them in a SanDisk. They're too expensive. Essentially, do the same thing.
Yeah, but you remember the time before.
What? They're not a bad make.
Yeah, but don't forget the time.
There's loads of good makes of SD cards. I'm getting distracted. What was I talking about then?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Monday. Monday next week, simply because I'm filming on...
Monday.
Yeah, I'm filming on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Monday will be the recording. Again, it'll have to be a live recording because I haven't got time to edit it.
Does that mean we can't swear?
I'm looking forward to the people feeding back.
I didn't even write down
when we broke off and started discussing Disney.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that in because it's fun.
Yeah. It was very interesting, and Ben has obviously now revealed something about
it. He's revealed something. He's always revealing something.
Yeah, but that's normally only in photos that I sent to Jenna.
It's very nice.
It comes down to us.
So, Ben, bearing in mind we're going to be recording... be quiet. We're going to be recording on Monday. Any chance you might be able to nip in around the same sort of time?
Yeah, yes, it will be a case of around the same sort of time. I shall have to go for my normal Monday morning run / jog / crawl / pull myself along the floor. But I shall return.
And then you'll be having several slashes like you did during this podcast.
I was making a drink.
Of wee.
Mary says, I told Mary about Monday. She said, sigh, I guess.
Well, it's her own fault for not turning up. Tell her it's her own fault for not turning up today. So we decided that obviously Tuesday isn't a suitable day for Mary, so we're doing it on Monday. Yeah. I'm surprised Rhys didn't turn up because I would have thought he'd quite like that episode.
He did. He left.
Oh, he wanted to.
Stuff on,
so why didn't he then?
He's busy.
Nah. I'm blooming busy. I still turn up for the show. Oh, he's on.
Well done, Adam.
Very quiet.
Well done, Adam. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Right. I suppose that's about it because I'm being stared at by Alpha Debbie, which means, of course, it's time for me to either have lunch or get on with some editing. So thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for partaking in the show, those of you that could be bothered to turn up.
I'm sorry, Mary forgot.
And see you again next week when we'll be reviewing... What's it called again, Deb?
I can't remember. Kirby, what's the next one called?
Something to do with time.
Bank of something.
A time heist.
Time heist, that's it. So reviewing time heist. Until then, bye.
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 Goodbye, fancy pants.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.